service, all right?
Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13? Proverbs chapter 13. It's so good to be here this morning, and always love coming back to Ambassador. You are in the place where God wants you, amen? And through the course of that, you're going to learn all kinds of lessons, messages that are going to be preached, testimonies that you're going to hear. And sometimes some of you are going to sit there and say, well, you know, that's never happened to me. Well, it ought to, okay? Because you need that when you go outside this place. I look back at all the things, whether it was Dr. Childs slamming the door when he came in and starting to tell us about what we need to do, or Pastor Camp just getting on us and saying, hey, you just need to know this. You need to understand this. You need to do it. Or Brother Johnson and his passion for missions. It's amazing as you go through each and every one of them that all of them have a unique identity, and you need every one of it. Every one of them. You need to be able to take that and apply it to your life. It is so good to be here. My family's here this time, and we're over in the trailer. Obviously, we have homeschooling, and so we're normally I'd be teaching right now, but we're here today and looking forward to tomorrow. Actually, we'll be here. Our trailer will be here for all week, but we won't, but the trailer will be, all right? You can visit it if you want, but we're from Northwest Indiana, Chicago area. I grew up, and amen, I'm a Cubs fan, all right? Just want that to be known, and hey, listen. On God's prophetic timetable, all right, the Cubs win and the rapture. Amen, all right? This is how it's going to be. We'll celebrate forever, Pastor Camp. Amen? So, I mean, come on. It's been 108 years. Brother Childs was only like 10 back then, all right, when they won. I mean, it's amazing. You know what I'm saying? So we're looking forward to it. Hope you have a great break. But, hey, don't leave yet. All right, don't leave yet. You say, well, I'm done with my midterms. I know. But God still has something for you. And so sometimes we kind of tune out. We're here physically, but mentally we're not here. All right, we're in home. We're at home. We're at our friend's house. We're making a road trip. Amen. All those different things that we do. But hey, next two chapel services, let's pay close attention to the Word of God. Would you stand with me out of respect of reading God's Word if you're physically able? Proverbs chapter 13. So good to see so many of you that we have developed friendships with. It's so good to see you again. And looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in our hearts here in the next couple days. Look what the Bible says in verse 4, would you? Verse 4. The Bible says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made. This morning, I'd like to preach a message I've entitled, Skinny is Out and Fat is In. Skinny is out and fat is in. Before we get started, can we ask God to give us a hand? Father, we thank you so much for this place. Lord, all the blessings that you have brought to this place through these faithful professors. Father, I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to come and learn under these individuals. Lord, though I will never be able to personally repay them back for all that they've invested in me, Lord, I pray that I would keep preaching the truth. Lord, that's what changes people's lives. Father, as we come here this morning, Lord, would we just grab this nugget of truth from thy word this morning? Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you're about to do. In the invitation time, Jesus, my precious Savior's name. Amen. You may be seated. No doubt when we get to Proverbs chapter 13, we see two individuals. Matter of fact, everybody in this room is made up in this one verse. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look at the comparison in the Hebrew, what we have here in Proverbs chapter 13. He says, the soul of the sluggard, that's the lazy person, desireth. Matter of fact, if you go down a little bit further, it says the soul of the diligent. You see, everybody in this room is going to be summed up in one of two categories. Either they're a lazy person or they're a diligent person. And what's amazing to me is though everybody in this room can be summed up in one of these two categories, we all desire the second result. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look at the verse. The soul of the sluggard desireth but hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now, class, we're not talking physically, okay? It means to be blessed. How many of you here want to be blessed? Raise your hand. Sure, there shouldn't be anyone with their hands down. Why? Because we all want to be blessed. But though we desire it, and everybody does, not everyone is blessed. Now, I grew up in a preacher's home, and that's why I'm deranged, okay? But my daddy's been pastoring the same church just south of Chicago for about 33 years. And because he was in a farm community-ish, smaller community, we should say it that way, that my dad's been bivocational. And so my dad has done flooring all of his life. And so guess who grew up doing flooring? You're looking at him, all right? Now, there were times when I started out that I did not want to go. You get it? All right? Saturday morning, Dad comes in and says, son, get up. It's time to go to work. And I'm like, Dad, I'm six. Really? Why are you entering the room? I need rest. A child cannot develop fully if he doesn't have enough hours of sleep. But you know, it's amazing. I cut my thumb with my carpet knife at the age of five. My dad was so proud, my mom hated it. And I can remember going to Dad and saying, Dad, you got to be joking. I mean, really? We got to go to work again? And I look at him growing up, 9, 10, 11, 12, and I was like, Dad, come on, stop it. You're killing me. Every other kid in America doesn't have to work, but I do. And man, I just looked at him and thought, this guy is a slave driver. I cannot believe that he's making me get up Saturday morning before cartoons and work. And man, we'd go after school. If there was a job after school, we'd ride out together. I'm like, Dad, hey, what about sports? Nope. You're coming with me. I need your help. I'm like, Dad, really? But you know what's amazing? At 16, I had a W-2 for $20,000. You know why? Because I was installing flooring by myself at 16. Now, let me tell you, I really liked that. Why? Because I went out and bought my own car at 16. Why? Because Dad instilled in me a virtue called hard work. And tonight, I would like to look at that topic of being a hard worker, because the Bible makes it so clear. You all said, hey, Brother Jake, I want to be blessed. I'm telling you, we all want to be blessed. But listen, the Bible says the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. They want it. It's not that they don't want it. They want to be blessed. They want good grades. They want to make a good earning. They want to have a fruitful ministry. They want a great marriage. But watch. The lazy person, though they desire it, it doesn't happen. And here's what's so sad. You would think, well, if a guy's a physical hard worker, then spiritually, they're good to go. You know what I find? It's not always the case. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to show you from the Bible three characteristics of a lazy person. Because a lazy person, though they desire it, according to Proverbs 13, got nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 26, would you? Proverbs chapter 26. As we look at three characteristics, you know, most of us in this room would probably say, oh, preacher, I'm not lazy. That's why we have to have characteristics, okay? Because humanly speaking, we don't like to identify ourselves with faults. Isn't that the truth? Okay? You know, when you figure this out, you get married. And then you figure it out, all right? You got all kinds of faults. You just didn't realize it. You overlooked them. And so sometimes when we read the Bible, we can read characteristics that are in an individual, and we're like, hey, that's me. Hey, that's something that I often do in my life. And thus, we understand, hey, we need to be diligent. We need to be not only a physical hard worker, but a spiritual hard worker. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says this: the slothful man, the lazy man, the sluggard, these are all synonyms. Look what the Bible says. Man saith, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. Look at verse 14. And as the door turneth upon its hinges, so doth the slothful man upon his bed. Well, the first characteristic that I see of a lazy person is, number one, there's an observation, but no response. Would you say that with me? There's an observation, but no response. One more time. There's an observation, but no response. Look what the Bible says. The slothful man says, hey, there's a lion in the way. There's a lion in the street. And as the door turneth upon his hinges. How many of you turn in your sleep? All right? Yeah. You know what happens, right? When you get old, it gets worse, okay? I can remember being young and, man, working all day, and, man, I got to my bed, and it was like a rock, okay? There could have been a tornado, a hurricane, and a fire. I would have slept through all three, all right? I mean, it was just bad. But as you get older, you know, like, oh, something doesn't feel right, that muscle. That's what Pastor Surratt told me anyways. And so all of a sudden, you look up, and you're like, ah, oh. What happens? You turn over, and you put your pillow on this side, fix it, and you go right back to sleep. Now, wait a minute. If there's a lion in your bedroom, why would you look at it and say, oh, nice kitty, and go the other way? But that's exactly what happens with a lazy person. My parents, we one year when I was a kid, we went down to the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, and my uncle owned a chalet, and so we're city folks, and so we didn't know the whole what to do with the trash, and so we decided to leave the trash right outside my slider door bedroom window. You get the picture here? All right? Some of you are like, oh, that ain't good. That's right. And so I'm about 10 years old. I'm sleeping. I had two sisters, so I had my own room, you know, that kind of thing. And so I went into this beautiful chalet, and, man, it was all gorgeous. And I'm sitting on the second story, and there's a wraparound porch, right, with steps. Access, it says bear walk on it, okay? But anyways, and so my dad puts the garbage right next to my slider glass window. Now, why he put it next, I don't know, okay? I don't know. Maybe he was trying to torture me as a child. I don't know, okay? But he puts it there, and so I'm sleeping like a rock, just like normal. About 7 o'clock, I hear this on the glass window. I don't have a clue. In Chicago, we don't have bears. They're only the Chicago Bears, okay? And they're not four-footed, all right? And so I'm like, hey, what's that noise? So I do what every 10-year-old boy does, whip open the curtain, and there he is on 2 feet. Man, I ran out of there as fast as possible. I was not trying to figure out, was it a brown bear, a black bear? No, he was going to kill me. I ran, and my parents were, Dad, there's a bear in my room. But you know what's amazing? We can have the lion of sin in our life, and we can see it, and we're like, oh, what a nice kitty. Come here, kitty. It'll be okay. Wait a minute. There's a lion in the way. There's a lion in the street. And all we want to do is, as the door turneth upon its hinges, so does slothful in its bed. You see, listen, many times why we don't respond, though we observe, though we have this observation that's in our lives that people say, hey, wait a minute, that's not good. you don't need to have that in your life. We say to them, I'm all right. You have professors that come to you and say, hey, I want you to check this out because, you know what? I don't think this is really a good situation. I don't think this character in your life, character quality, is good to have to develop this appetite in your life. And you know what we do? I'm okay, preacher. Thanks, though. I'll be fine. And you know why we're that way? Because currently, we're not facing the consequences of that lion. You see, if the lion was gnawing on your right arm, you would be putting up a major fight. Do you understand that? But because this relationship, you think, oh, it's not going to hurt me. I can do this with the opposite sex. It'll be fine. I can hold her hand. We can kiss a little bit, saying goodbye. It'll be okay. You know, there's no problem there. Listen to me. There's a lion in the street. There's a lion in the way. And what happens is we get so comfortable with seeing it there that we think, you know what? I'm good. There's an observation. It's not like you don't know the lion's there. You know the lion's there, but watch. There's no response. And here's the reason why. Because we're not facing the consequence of it right now. Brother Spencer said it. You know what America's living on? Mercy. That's what we're living on. But watch. Guess what? You're American. And you know what's so sad? You know how Ambassador Baptist students, some of the Ambassador Baptist students are living on? Mercy. Why? Because the lion is in the way, the lion is in the street, and you know what we say? Richard, don't worry. I got it. I can handle this. You don't understand, preacher. I'm a strong Christian. I'm mature. Now watch, we're leaving, right? If you didn't realize this, fall break is tomorrow at 11:01. Okay? If you hadn't figured this out yet. And the wings are going to expand. Ooh, 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 ooh. And you're going to experience freedom like you haven't since you came to college. And all of a sudden, the lion's going to show up. You know what the lazy person says? Come on, I need a break. But you saw it. The soul of the sluggard desireth, but hath nothing. Notice the second characteristic. Look at verse number 15. The Bible says in verse 15, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. All right, the second characteristic of a lazy person is number two, there is obligation, but no reaction. There is an obligation, but no reaction. You say, what are you talking about? Well, they tell us. I haven't personally taken this test, but they said that you can go 40 days without food, not without water, but without food. Now, I don't want to try that. Maybe you do, okay? But that's not my goal. But, there's an obligation that you must feed yourself, okay? You didn't realize this is good stuff here, okay? Without food, you don't have energy to burn, all right? Your body burns and then releases, and that's how you walk and some of you think and some of you don't. But anyways, that's how it happens. And so you need food. You need proteins. You need all kinds of different things in your body so that it can react and so that you can function in life. So there's an obligation, but watch. There's no reaction. You know what's so sad? Is I tell people this. By the time you reach the teenage years, get it? you know what's right, and you know what's wrong. I love how James says it. James makes it so easy. He says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is what, class? See, I don't have to go around and say, hey, you know what? You're supposed to be kind to one another. Okay? I shouldn't have to do that. Why? Because you've heard your mama say it for all these years. Okay? I shouldn't have to tell you, hey, you know what? You should forgive. I shouldn't have to tell you that. Why? Because you already know that. You're at Ambassador Baptist College. You have memorized those verses time and time again. You've had to write them out. You've had to verbally say them. You've had to parse them. You've had to do all this. But watch, even though we know all that, there's an obligation, and we get it. We know what our job is. There's no reaction. There's no doing. Ah, preacher, it's not that big of a deal. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, would you? Turn over a couple. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4. Look what the Bible says in verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. The Bible says this. Get wisdom. Obviously, wisdom is a main thing here. In the book of Proverbs, it says, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the ways of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Look at verse 14. Here it is. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Well, no one will know. Well, you know what? I'm going to be in my own car. Well, we can sneak off. Now, wait a minute. You just read from verse 5 down to verse 13, and you said, yes, that's right. But then we get to verse number 14, where he says, now here's your obligation. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. And we say, yeah, but for a little bit? Can I just take a little bit? Now, wait a minute. The lazy person says, it'll be okay. No reaction. But the Bible says, it's the soul of the diligent that shall be made fat. Not the lazy person. And what the writer of Proverbs here says, he says, enter not in the path of the wicked. Look at verse number 15. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. And pass away. You know what? That verse ought to be memorized. Avoid it. Hey, I know the temptation is strong. I know that there's people maybe dressed on that program that I shouldn't see because they're improperly dressed. I know that if I go to this location, hey, there's going to be something that I shouldn't look upon. Hey, I know if I go to that person's house that that person's going to have a bad attitude and I'm going to be tending to be that way. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Why? Because if not, here's what's going to happen. Oh, you're going to desire it. You're going to desire being blessed. You're going to want the blessings of God in your life. But guess what's going to happen? The soul of the sluggard desireth, but hath, what's the word, class? So what do we have to do? We have to be diligent. We got to be diligent to do what God's word tells us to do, even when we're not in front of the professors. even when we're not in front of the dean of men and the dean of students, even when we're saying, hey, you know what? No one else is around. Wait a minute. You forgot one. God. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. The Bible makes it very clear. Go over to verse number chapter 6. Chapter 6, look at verse number 23 and 24. For the commandment is a lamp. The Bible, the scriptures, is a lamp. And the law is light. And reproof of instructions are the way of life. Look at verse 24. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. So what's the Bible say? The Bible says, hey, we're giving you the word of God, the commandment. We're giving you the statutes. We're giving you the law so that it can show the light of the truth of reality. And when you decide, well, it's not that big of a deal. No, really what's happening is you're developing spiritual laziness. Why? Because there's an obligation and you know the obligation. Because you've grown up in church long enough, you've been in Bible class long enough that you know what is right and you know what is wrong. And therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. But here's the thing. Spiritual lazy people say, it's okay. I know I have an obligation, but you know what? I'm not going to pull my hand out. I'm just going to keep it at it. I'm not going to do right. No. I'll get away with it. They'll never see me. I won't get demerits for it. It'll be okay. Second characteristic of a lazy person is there's obligation, but no reaction. Go to the third one. Go back with me to Proverbs 26. Proverbs chapter 26. Look what the Bible says in verse number 16. Verse 16, the Bible says, the sluggard, the lazy person, the slothful, is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. The third characteristic that I see of a lazy person, and obviously we don't want to be that way because we do desire things and we do want things, but listen, the sluggard, the slothful man, desired but had nothing. It's number three. There's the obvious, but no reasoning. There's the obvious. Oh, look what the Bible says. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit. Can I break that down into your everyday language? He's a know-it-all. She's a know-it-all. You can't tell them anything. Matter of fact, it is so bad, Pastor Camp, that you try to reason with them. Hey, you don't have to do it for me. You don't have to do it for me. All right? Because technically, I'm not going to benefit from this. But let me just lay out all the cards. Let me show you the circle. What I like to call the cycle. Let me show you all this. And they look at you as if you have fallen off the bandwagon. I'll tell you what, that Pastor Ken, he's so old. I tell you what, he's grown up in the back hills of North Carolina and he ain't got a clue of reality. Now listen. He does. You know why? Because he's been dealing with people for a long time. And he applies the word of God to your life. But here's the problem. We look at those type of people that want to instruct us, that want to help us. You know what we do? We take offense to them. How dare Pastor Kip call me lazy? What? I'm calling my mom. Oh, that's mature. That's what we do. We don't want to receive instruction. We don't want to receive reproof. Hey, did you know this? If you were perfect, you wouldn't need Ambassador Baptist College. Did you figure that out yet? Some of you are like, no. This is a great decision today. Okay? Ask your roommate if you're perfect, all right? Watch. So you came here for a reason. You weren't what you needed to be, and you needed help to become who you needed to be, and you felt that God was directing you here so that these people that are on staff and faculty could help you become what God wants you to be. Now, don't ask me to repeat that. Isn't it? So, Ethan, when people come to us and they come to us and say, hey, you know, Ethan, this is something I see in your life. I think you may want to address that. We shouldn't take offense to that. We should receive that. You say, well, I don't like being called that. Well, hey, nobody does. But here's the question. Do you want to be blessed or do you not want to? Because the Bible says the soul of the sluggard desireth, hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And what's so unfortunate is I go around the country and I speak to people all across this country that sit in pews just like this. You know what they've come to? Here it is. They've come complacent with the skinny blessings of God. I'm good. I don't need anything else. Wait a minute. You won't make it in ministry if you don't start experiencing the fat blessings of God. You need that. Why? Because people that are going to sit under your ministry need to see a God who blesses and exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Because why would they want to go to a God who is a skinny blesser? They're not. And if we'll be able to identify that, you know what? I may be a physical hard worker, but spiritually, I'm not diligent at all. It's going to benefit you. Why? Because your homework all of a sudden is going to become important. Your behavior is all of a sudden going to become important. Your testimony all of a sudden is going to become important. Your future down the road, marriage, is going to become important. Why? Because listen, anything that's worth it always takes work. It just does. Ministry is not for lazy people. Because if you're lazy, you're not going to make it in ministry. Because it's crazy. Yeah, it's not the physical laying tile for 14 hours a day. I got you. But let me tell you, when that dad comes to you, and they're asking for counsel, and they pour their heart out to you, you will wish you could go back to physical labor. Why? Because it's heartbreaking. And it's only the diligent. They're going to make it. The hardworking. And that's exactly what we see here. But so often, we are those that say, you know what? I know what I'm going to do, and you can't change me, preacher. You can't change me, professor. You don't need to worry about me. I've got this all handled. And they look at you and say, the slugger is wiser in his own conceit. Why? Because you're not willing to receive instruction and reproof. That's a sign of a lazy person. And why would you want to be lazy if you want the blessings of God? See, young person, I'm not here to browbeat you. I'm not. Because I didn't like it when I was your age. But the truth is the truth. And we could say this morning, oh, don't worry about it. Just be lazy. You'll be okay. You'll make it. Hey, you know what? Everybody else is doing it. So why don't you do it? Just take a free handout. Listen. That's not doing what God says. And if you're going to be in ministry, you better get a hold of this. You better start doing it God's way. Because that's the only way you're going to be blessed. Would you bow with me?